And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Conjureman Ali of ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Deacon Millett of HoreAltars.org in the high desert of California. And this week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Breeders and Root Workers, Kai Armand of Conjure in the City in Brooklyn, New York. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, called into the show, well, you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. And we'll be going to the phones in just a few moments. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Conjureman Ali and Deacon Millett. Conjureman Ali?
Thank you, Ms. Emily, for that lovely introduction. My name is Conjureman Ali. I am filling in as the board operator for Naga Shiva, and the wonderful Deacon Millett is filling in for Kat, both of whom are away on some fun train business, if I'm not mistaken. So we wish them a great time, and hopefully they have a fantastic weekend. And we'll see them again next week, or at least hear them. Welcome, everyone. This is going to be a very exciting show. I do apologize in advance if there's any type of technical glitches. I am not the best when it comes to being the board operator. Not that she has big shoes to fill, but I shall certainly do my best. Today we have on, in addition to the wonderful Deacon Millett, we have Kai Armand as our guest, who is going to bring a very timely topic, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going to look forward to that. And before we jump into our topic, let's just check in with everyone and see how we're doing. On my end, I have some wonderful news. I've been working quite hard on some writing projects that are finally coming to fruition. I am notoriously busy when it comes to writing. I'm always writing, but I tend to write multiple pieces and then I spend ages and ages perfecting them until they're wonderful and ready to send out into the world. So I finally come to the point where in my writing project, where I finally feel that they're ready to go forth, so you can look forward to some exciting stuff. Forgetting my academic side for a moment, but you can look for some exciting stuff from the world of Conjureman Ali, if you will. And also some work that I've been doing on a national level. As many people know, I'm involved heavily in politics and society and doing work with the order that I work with. To influence politics, to influence society, to influence right decision, always working towards enlightenment, knowledge, and equality. So it is a wonderful, wonderful week for that, and we've had some wonderful results, which we'll talk a little bit about later. Before going any further, let's check in with Deacon Millett and see what he's been up to. Deacon Millett, thank you for joining us, as always. You are a wonderful, wonderful co-host. How have you been, and what's going on in your world?
Well, it's been a busy week here with more honey jars than I know what to do with, and we're nearing 100 candles in our chapel,
which
is about the limit.
Wow!
I'm gonna have to do something to stem the tide a little bit, I think. But that's been very exciting, and of course, the events of this week have been exhilarating and exhausting and fantastic. And you know, I'm so happy to get to listen to you and Kai speak about these things because it's just also important and dramatic. But I have a question for you, because you tantalized us with potential publications, but you haven't said what they're about. Are you at liberty to say?
I am not at to say at the moment, and it's part of the my process, if you will. But I will hint. I will give some hints that
okay.
I have a publications that are academic publications and commentary. That's separate. But in regards to the Condraman only, it's two publications, and they are very much in line with the tradition that I work closely with. So that should be a pretty clear hint. But I will definitely give more news as time goes on. I do want to say 100 candles. I think this is one of the benefits of having the chapel that you do. For people who don't know, Deacon Millett runs the Four Altars Gospel Chapel out in the high desert. And it is, I've seen photos of it, though I've lucky enough to see it in person, and it is beautiful. But would you say that's one of the benefits of having this kind of separate space, is you're able to take on more candle work? Because I know for me, I'm thinking 100 candles, and I can do 20, but when it's more than that, it's more than my limit. That's amazing.
No, I especially had it, you know, designed and built out of cinder block, and you're Capricorn too. I mean, fire. Oh my God. So
yeah.
You know, you've got to create an environment where safe and nothing bad can happen. And in fact, that's why a lot of people want their candles burned at Four Altars or at Missionary Independence.
Exactly.
Is for safety reasons. You know, just having
exactly.
a candle burning 24 hours in your house, particularly if you've got a child or a cat, it's
mm-hmm.
not a good plan. So.
True. And Four
yeah.
Altars is associated with the Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church denomination. And
correct.
I know that for me, whenever I have clients that are looking for candle burning and I don't have the space, that I go to Four Altars and Missionary Independent. And there's the benefit to doing that in addition to the safety of it. Sometimes people are a little too close to the work that they do and they require someone else to come in. It's also a great way of backing up work. This is something that I tell people a lot. Some situations just require candle work. Some lights that are, it can be extremely powerful. But in other cases, you're already doing root work. Setting candles to back up the work or keep heat on the work, having, for example, yourself at Four Altars set a candle while someone's doing a working at home is a really powerful way of working. It brings in a great deal of spiritual momentum.
Precisely. Yes, it's
yeah.
it really works well to have a variety of people in your corner pulling for you and strengthening your work. So, and of course, there's always the candles I'm doing for myself. That's the other nice thing about doing it is, you know, it's just nice and rhythmic. You can set your own candles for your work as other people do things. It's like, hey, you know what? I need one of those too.
Exactly.
Which is great.
That's so true. Sometimes you're doing certain works, like doing money drawing. You know, a little bit of extra cash is good for me too. So you set an extra candle for yourself. That's very true. That's so funny. I do want to bring in Kai here, who has been waiting patiently, as our wonderful guest. Kai, how are you doing? How are things going over on the East Coast?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. The weather is gorgeous. It was a bit rainy yesterday, but today the sun definitely came out, you know, so there's been no raining on any parades. I've been involved in some some performance work, you know, just sort of continuing that momentum from the wonderful Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Shortly thereafter, a friend of mine here in Brooklyn asked me to be involved in a project. We just finished that up last night, and it ended with just a really lovely night of revelry and creativity and feeling very, you know, warm in my heart.
Oh, that is fantastic. That is exciting. And for once, I don't begrudge the weather, though I'm notorious for hating summer for its heat. And we do have quite a bit of hot weather already here in Southern California. But I'm with you. No raining on parade, so I'm very happy for the weather that we've had. We do have this is going to be an interesting discussion. We have all earth signs on here. we all on the show, we have two Tauruses and a Capricorn, and we're going to have an interesting discussion about activism, which is what the topic is that Kai proposed to us. And I don't think it could be any more timely of a topic than activism right now. And I'm particularly fascinated because we are all Earth signs, what perspective we're going to bring to activism, what it means for us, and what type of root work ultimately do we do? What does activism mean for the Contra community? Let us dive into this. I'm just going to start us off briefly, and then I'll open up the floor to both of you fine gentlemen. As people, anyone who's been watching the news should know by now, this past week has been a great moment in American history. One of the few times, no, I shouldn't say that's terrible, but one of the times you can say I'm proud to be an American, where the Supreme Court ruled in legalizing same-sex marriage across the nation. So it was a fantastic ruling. People have been celebrating and people are excited. It's a step forward in progress and equality for everyone, and it has been a long and hard fight, let's be honest, right? It's not been easy. And, you know, the detractors are out there and they're angry, but it's moments like this that make us rethink activism. We've talked about activism in the past, and generally activism has a certain connotation with the negative. Not that activism itself is bad, but rather activism represents a moment of dealing with the negative in society. In other words, it's reactionary. Something goes wrong, and you step forward and you do something about it. That's what activism generally has a connotation of. This is particularly the case in recent years for us, especially the past, dealing with things like racism in the United States, things like police brutality and systemic racism towards African Americans and people in the Black community. And, you know, activism means stepping in and going, there's a problem here. But there is a positive side to activism, and that is when things finally go right. So it has been a tough month. On one hand, we see that racism is very much well and alive. You have the Charleston shooting, right? 9 people were killed in that in an overact of a hate crime. And since then, while it's not getting as much media attention, six Black churches have been set on fire. Historic Black churches, right? So you have this sad moment going on, but that's one side of activism. Standing up against the inequality, standing up against the hatred, standing up against intolerance, and standing up against violence. But then this past week reminds us that there is this other side to activism. When finally the work pays off, all the hard work, all the protesting, the legal process, all of that finally pays off and you get a ruling like we did. So I do want to bear that in mind, that there is this kind of other side to activism, the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will. And with that, let's see what you gentlemen have to say. Let's go to Kai first, since this is the topic he introduced. What does activism mean for you as a root worker specifically? And how do you come at it as a spiritual worker when you're thinking of activism?
Sure, you know, activism means so many things to different people. And, you know, I would say that I would probably be considered by most people to be on the liberal end of things. I don't know if there are people who are more on the conservative end of things who would sort of consider that, you know, their political endeavors or their hopes or intentions or actions that they take regarding the political sphere to be activism as well. It could be. So, you know, activism doesn't really have an exact definition, but we definitely hear it most when it comes to, I guess, progressive causes. You know, so to me, activism, I definitely am a member of a few different marginalized communities. I hear a lot about activism in a lot of different ways. You know, as you said, you know, there have been a lot of things that have happened in the past week. There has been the legalization of marriage between all individuals, all consenting adults this week, which has made today a very big day for a lot of people. But this is also taking place in the wake of the Charleston shootings and 6 burnt churches. And then, you know, even though people might say, well, you know, that means that the gay or queer community is completely happy based on the ruling from the Supreme Court this week. I know that there are a lot of people who have been very frustrated with the efforts toward quote-unquote gay marriage, because that they have felt, and any queer people, because they have felt that they have detracted from the conversation around queer people of color and low-income queer people. Marriage has been legalized, but what about ongoing discrimination in general? What about economic discrimination? The fact that I believe it's in 30 states, you can still be fired for your sexual orientation or gender identity.
That's true.
So I know a lot of queer identified people who they're saying, you know, well, now can we really get on with it? You know, can we really get on with,
right.
with the equality conversation? So
one of the things
you're
saying, if I can just clarify real quick, one of the things you're saying, and what I wholeheartedly agree with, is just because you have a legal victory, so it's, you know, a change de jure, doesn't mean the de facto has changed either. After all, the civil rights movement, you know, we have all sorts of legal changes that happen that remove things like racism and discrimination, and yet we still see it in society. So I think this is a really good point you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that, yeah, we should celebrate this victory, but now let's get on to the real work, because society as a whole still needs to be changed, right?
Yeah, this is, you know, for a lot of people, myself included, this isn't enough, you know?
Right.
This isn't equality. This is equality for some folks in a certain way, but this isn't, now the gay rights or queer rights conversation is over. Also, this past week, there was a trans woman of color from Mexico who was in the meeting with, you know, there was an Obama event, LGBT rights, and she interrupted the event to say, hey, Obama, you know, queer, you know, trans women of color in these detention centers are experiencing abuse at tremendous levels, and everyone in the room said, boo, shut up. So there's this idea, this very pervasive idea that who is this for, and is this enough that's been going on?
That's a fantastic, fantastic question. I'm going to bring in Deacon Millett. Deacon Millett, as also a member of a marginalized community, what do you think activism means for you as a root worker? And would you agree that just because there's a victory, that there's actually more work to be done? And then thirdly, to kind of follow, how do we approach that work? So let's talk about earth signs, right? We're all about productivity. So how do we approach that more, or the next step, as members of a spiritual community, members of marginalized communities or minorities, et cetera?
Well, I think that, you know, that last example is really good, because it shows the beginning. In the beginning, when protesting something, the reaction of everyone is boo. If you can picture what it was like 30 years ago to say gay people should be allowed to get married, I mean, boo. And these things take a lot of time. And just reaching we have to celebrate our milestones, God knows. I mean, when a Confederate flag comes down, we have to have a moment of, thank God, something moved in the right direction.
Right.
You know? But the fact is, it is a long, slow process. And, I'm very gratified that a huge number of angels basically have pushed from the other side to get gay rights on the agenda. I truly believe that that's what's happened. It's been a spiritual event. And it's sad that so many people had to be martyred to get there, but that is what happened. But the frustration I simultaneously feel with the people who are adamantly pretending that racism doesn't exist is just beyond belief. I mean, I really want to just shake people because they are so incredibly blind to something that is so readily apparent if you look at numbers and, you know, just simple data. But people are just refusing to see it. And I think that that's what's so frustrating. We can use a lot of the same tools that we use in other conjure situations, whether it's boss sticks to attack the people in power, or compelling candles or clarity candles to make people see things more clearly. We do have magical avenues in addition to just going to the ancestors who have clout to help us in these situations. But the thing about stuff like a law changing is, well, we saw a lot of laws change 50 years ago. And it doesn't change the intrinsic situation beneath the laws, which is that human beings want to create S's and them's so that they can say we're good and those other people are bad. And you'd think we had seen so damn many examples. But, you know, I'm just back from South Africa, and it boggled my mind that one decade after fighting against the Nazis, the government of South Africa could pass all these apartheid laws and not even blink, not even notice that it was the same goddamn thing. And it's, I don't know, the human condition on that level, if I focus too much on it, I get very depressed. You know, what can you do?
It's true. There is an intrinsic ongoing struggle there that we have to acknowledge, that their work never really is done, and that it sometimes comes down to the struggle with human nature, not just with unjust laws and unjust society, but the unjust people that make up those societies and those laws. So while the laws change, the people also need to change. And I think that's a fantastic point. So I'm going to ask Kai, what would you say is our method of addressing this spiritually? Deacon Millett talked about things like boss fix, and also even mentioned how the spiritual component of this change. I recall a conversation with beloved and late Dr. E, talking about how he marched in protest, and his rise in power motto that has become associated with him comes from that, and how the work he did, the spiritual work, the laying down of powders on the Capitol steps, the raising of his fist and calling upon the righteous ancestors to walk with him. And I remember him talking about how the parade may have had, or the march may have had 100 people, or thousands upon thousands of ancestors were marching with them. And so we had this spiritual army behind them. So what are the type of workings that you do that bring in the spiritual force for change? How is it that you, as a spiritual worker, tackle activism? What is it that you do that we can call spiritual activism, if you want to call it, or conjure activism?
Well, one example I can cite that I felt was very much in alignment with root work, I was actually involved in a ritual this past week. There was a priestess who I interviewed on my radio show a few weeks ago, Courtney Weber, here in New York, a Wiccan priestess, and she felt very called and moved to have some kind of a healing ritual around racism here in the USA after Charleston. We gathered together with a few other folks, and one of the things she brought to the ritual was a sachet bag that she had been gifted, and in this sachet bag was a mixture of dirt from the tree right by where Michael Brown in Ferguson had been shot and killed, combined with dirt from the Ferguson Police Department, combined with herbs like rose and lavender for reconciliation and healing. And we used some of this mixture in our ritual, adding it to the fire, adding it to the water. It was just so perfectly symbolic of these energies that we are seeking to rectify and bring reconciliation to. One of the individuals who I've always been in awe of is Miss Mytel in AIR, and the justice altar that she maintains regularly setting lights to and with such notables as Martin Luther King Jr. and Bayard Rustin. Another show I did actually on my show on Sacred Ground, this was a few months ago, with Witch Doctor Utu, was focused almost entirely on Harriet Tubman and how much conjure factored into her ability to free 300 people, and how she lives on as a sort of conjure saint who is regularly liberating people from chains. So there, you know, we can turn to the collective ancestral dead, as you mentioned. Dr. E was a favorite of Dr. E, and then we have the sort of elevated dead who were known for their work in justice causes while they were alive and are operating from the other side as well. And then we have the creativity of conjure and drawing, you know, using dirts from places like, you know, why not work with places, dirt from Congress or dirt from you know, the White House, you know?
Absolutely true.
So, yeah, we have this wonderful opportunity for creativity for sending out and manifesting our intentions when it comes to political work.
That's very true. I'd like to add something here. I do quite a bit of activism work along with you two gentlemen. And for me, activism, it really comes down to two parts, right? One, the first part is called creative destruction. And this part is something that not everyone is comfortable with. Because we talk about activism as often nonviolent and peaceful. While I certainly am a peaceful person, I also believe that for us root workers in particular, the history of root work is about addressing inequality. This is why people who try to divorce root work and hoodoo and conjure from the African-American experience are missing its history and spirit entirely. It is about addressing inequality, about inequalities in power, in access to economics, access to society, et cetera, and even access to justice. In fact, the root worker can be the figure of the spiritual justice, if you will, that when human justice or the human legal system fails, the spiritual root steps in. The check against the failures of human justice, right? And I firmly, firmly believe that there are cases where people get off, right? They do something illegal, they commit an atrocity, and they get off. And so I believe that one part of the activism that we do should be some form of creative destruction, at least case, which involves going after the bad guys, right? For example, a case here we had a long time ago was a fan at a baseball stadium was beaten and attacked by these other fans, and the fans and those aggressors disappeared, and the cops had no leads whatsoever. And so I worked with the hellhounds to hunt these guys down, and they were found within a matter of 3 weeks. And that's one part of it. It's a creative destruction. The other aspect of it is inciting the people, is bringing people up. For example, I don't always work for peace and calm. Sometimes people need to be righteously angry. And so I call upon the righteous wrath of the Lord to come down and to rise the people up against inequality. But then there's the other side, that once that creative destruction happens, you then have to move to a period of reconciliation, of peace, of wisdom, and just decision. Of yes, now we've rooted out the cancer, society, but now we must recover and heal. So there has to be that kind of balance there. So I do appreciate the suggestions that you've given. You're absolutely right. Bring the mixture of dirts, working creatively, it's all very important for activism work. Deacon Miller, what are some of the works that you do, for example? Are there particular candles that you find that you favor when you do this work, or a particular strategy that you have, like, for example, me, creative destruction first, then reconciliation, healing and recovery, or is there a different approach that you take?
Well, I do a candle that I don't advertise. It's available as a Deacon's Choice candle called God Sees All. that for me is a justice candle, because we do have a righteous God. And righteousness is so important in these situations. And I find myself relying on that sort of Old Testament justice a lot more in my work. And then, of course, there is pure reconciliation work. And it is absolutely the same as reconciliation love work. You know, when you have parties in conflict who need to learn to see each other clearly and to hear each other and to let go of things, all the same magic applies. You know, their pine jars are immensely important to this kind of work. It's just, you know, people ever need sweetening to each other. And you can add things to honey jars that would seem nonsensical, like Solomon Eel Root. You can add High John the Conqueror. You know, those things are not antithetical to sweetening.
Yeah.
And to that idea of bringing people closer together, I'm also just a huge fan of hyssop. I think we need, and this is the thing that I do believe in reconciliation and forgiveness, but you can't be forgiven for something that you claim you've never done. And you can't be forgiven for something that you say never happened. So, you know, all these people screaming about their heritage and the Confederate flag, I'm sorry, you're not getting it, and Jesus cannot forgive you yet. You haven't asked, you have not asked for the forgiveness because you're claiming you don't need it. And that is that is a level of pride that goeth before the fall. Absolutely.
So true. That's a fantastic, fantastic suggestion. And the use of hyssop there is really brilliant, because hyssop cleans away sins, but you first have to acknowledge that the sins exist. So the confession element there, I think that you're absolutely right about it. And in regards to the situation at hand, you're right. You know, you can't wipe away the history of the Confederate flag or the Confederacy in general and then ask for everything to be, oh, it's all good and fine now. You have to first admit that there was something wrong there and go from there. That's a great perspective. You know, just to throw out a thing that I really enjoy doing is working with astrology. I'm sure you can look and attest this. Recognizing the patterns within the stars, electional astrology and mundane astrology are both very useful in timing-wise, determining when is the right time to move the energies around and move society. Finding out the astrological birth of a country can help you influence the country towards right decisions, as well as using the birth chart of things like SCOTUS, or the Supreme Court of the United States, or the birth chart of the people. They work as great personal traces, so you can work at it on a macrocosmic level, influencing society as a whole, using it for timing and determining when to do certain actions or magical work, as well as using it as a, on a micro level by influencing people directly using their natal chart. So some, just another little tip that I use myself. How about you, Kai? We talked about some of the strategies in regards to, for, you know, bringing about activism. And you mentioned working with DIRTS. So DIRTS, astrological charts, very similar, working with a connection to spirit, a connection to people. Do you find that there are certain causes or certain types of activism that bring out a different strategy in you or bring out different types of work that you do? For example, you may find that for Congress you use a honey jar, but for a court case you use something else. So is there, you know, does the situation and the context change the way you approach the spiritual activism that you do?
Absolutely. To me, there's a certain cautiousness and understanding of all of the factors involved that is really important. And it comes really back to that reconciliation conversation that Deacon Millett has been bringing up as well.
Yeah.
sometimes, you know, we get so angry, and the idea is the first thing that comes to mind is, well, obviously we have to curse these people, or obviously
right.
we have to curse this situation. And it's like, well, is that, you know, think of all of the people who this might actually affect. There was a just actually a few weeks ago, it came out that there was a particular corporate entity that would be taking over a beach, an area of beach here in New York City that is very important to queer people. And there was this fear of, well, you know, we might not have the safety that we associate with this space. And someone said, well, we obviously need to curse this corporate entity. And I sort of said, hey, guys, you know, there's hundreds of vendors, small business vendors, who will be affected by that. So maybe there's a different kind of response when it comes to things like that. I'm very particular about working with the land. The land really can be a very strong ally when it comes to these kinds of in between spaces. We know that there's a change that needs to be made, but we don't want everything to just sort of, you know, be blown up.
Very true.
I work a lot with spirits of the land and calling upon not, you know, only their allyship, but also their wisdom. If something's not bad for the land, if something's not good for the land, it's probably not good for us either.
That's very true. And you know, we have to recognize, too, that the land spirits in particular are very good at lending themselves towards environmental activism. Right, so
yes.
Working with them in that regard. But you're absolutely right. That's a very powerful way of working. Deacon Miller, do you find the same question that I posed to Kai, and I think he's right, some form of forethought and judicious nature is needed there. When you do activism, do you find yourself leaning towards one type of work over the other, depending on the case itself? Does the case itself, to a certain extent, dictate the type of work that you do?
Oh, absolutely. There are times for Jupiter kind of expansive work. There's times for Saturn sort of restrictive work. I wanted to just touch on the chart that we've got going on right now in the sky. I mean, I don't think that, you know, Jupiter conjunct Venus is awfully good for expanding our notion of what love is. The Mars conjunct the Sun that we have going on right now, very dynamic for taking to the streets and taking action. So I don't think it's accidental that now is proving to be such a fruitful time.
Right. That's a fantastic point there. And leave it to our wonderful astrologer to give us what's going on in the stars right now to help explain and support the work that is coming to fruition. This was a fantastic discussion, interesting as always, and I couldn't think of two better people to have on here to discuss activism. And there's so much more to this topic. There really is. You can go into very specific cases, different type of workings that we do. I hope that we'll get an opportunity to revisit this at some point with both of you, because I think a follow-up discussion is much needed. So thank you both. Thank you, Kai, for bringing up this topic. And thank you, Deacon Millett, for your brilliant insight on this. I definitely, definitely enjoyed it. Let's go to Tammy Lee and head over to our first callers.
Yes, sir, Conjurman Ali. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Conjurman Ali and Deacon Millett, and this week's very special guest member from AIR, Kai Armand, will be right back. And we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients have selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, you read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first new client. Our first new client is calling in from area code 859 from Lexington, Kentucky. And this is Miss Michelle. Michelle, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and
our
host. You're very welcome. I'm going to go ahead and let them know. First of all, thank you so much, too, for being a loyal listener and for tuning in there with us and letting them know, too, that you have not gone to any of our members of AIR yet with your question. And she writes, my boyfriend is in the military and has received orders to move to California. I would like to get married before he leaves or at least be engaged. Turning it back over to you.
Thank
well,
you, Emily. That was fantastic. Let's have Deacon Millett do the first reading.
Well, it's always an interesting scenario. I live near the largest Marine base in the world. So I'm very familiar with people coming and going and how disruptive that can be to love. So I'm going to draw three cards for you. I'm using the Secret Dakini Oracle deck, and it can be purchased at Lucky Mojo. The first card that I've pulled here is Mother's Milk. This card shows a woman's breast against the Milky Way. It's a card that can mean both nurturing qualities as well as pregnancy and motherhood. And this does suggest that it will be important to him to have a connection to you as he finds things moving a little quickly under his feet. The second card is Abundance, which shows a chalice overflowing with golden coins. And this card definitely is resonant of the Suit of Cups, which is emotional in nature. But it also says that there are apparently financial things that may intrude or come to fruition in this case. The move to both solidify your relationship and the geographical move has financial repercussions, and in this case, they look positive, which is, you know, all we could ask for. The third card here is Taking Up Arms. This is the card of the soldier. It is the card of the warrior, and it is very much about taking positive action. And so I guess my question for you would be, what is your feeling about moving? Since you've asked more about his move, should something happen before he kind of goes away, what is that about?
Well, I'm divorced from my ex-husband, and we have a daughter together. We have joint custody. So it's possible, but it's not something that would happen right away. I would actually definitely, you know, have to come to an agreement with my ex-husband, but he's very, very active in our daughter's life, so that's not going to be easy.
Well, and so, that is such a primary thing that, you know, you just cannot interfere too much with that. How old is she?
She's 9. She'll be 10 actually in 2 weeks.
Okay, so you've got another decade to go. How far away will you be when all this comes to pass? What sort of geographical extremes are we looking at?
Oh, I'm in Kentucky.
Okay, so pretty darn extreme, unfortunately.
Pretty far.
His family
lives here, so I know that, you know, he'll be back and forth. And he'll be gone for 3 years, and then he's retiring. So he will be moving back here. So got a couple years, you know, 3 years actually, to have to deal with this.
Well, it's going to be a little rough. I want to pull three cards very quickly, asking the cards about how to cope with this three-year distance. The first one is the phoenix arising from the ashes. So things will return to normal. So you're definitely right there. The next card is centering the present. This card shows a mandala on the surface of the moon, and it reminds us that a relationship is a thing that must be constantly attended to. So the question is always, what is my relationship like today? And it's going to take some concerted effort for the two of you guys to stay in touch with the frequency that you need to. So plan on, giving that the energy that it deserves. And the final card here is Burning Bush Lineage Tree. And this is the card of our ancestors. It's the card of education. It's the card of structural organizations. So this really tells me that that church life will be important. You staying in touch with his family will be very important. And that rituals like engagement, becoming fiancés is of great value here. So all in all, you guys can totally survive this. It's very pleasing to see that. But there is going to be some real work involved.
Okay.
So any questions that brings to mind?
Not really. I mean, I'm trying to do some work on my own. I've got a honey jar going.
Good.
But that's about it.
Good.
I'm still learning.
Well, I'm sure Kai will have a whole nother approach to looking at this as well.
Yeah, and thank you, Deacon Millett, for that reading. I think you really brought up some important things to think about. Distance, of course, being one of them, but also brought up the fact that this, financially, there may be something there, some productive elements, if you will, to this move. So that's good to hear. Let's see what Kai has to say, and then I will give you some suggestions on what you can do root work wise. So Kai, what do you see in this situation? What are your cards telling you or your spirit saying?
So I'm in agreement with what Deacon Millett has said here. I see a lot of positivity here, but not positivity that wouldn't be aided by a bit of work, to ensure that communication is going and to ensure that, your own hopes are kept high. I began with bibliomancy, turning to my Bible and being brought to the scripture. Actually, this was a red letter, KJV, so we have these words said by Jesus in the Bible. And the scripture is Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, which says, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." So we have this idea of someone going abroad, of someone leaving that which, leaving important things or people behind, but that there are rewards in the future. There are rewards coming in the future despite the pain of that loss. And I see that as well reflected in the cards here. The primary card that feels the most resonant with the situation is the High Priestess card. So much of this is about choice. It's about the choices you make, the choice to choose joy, the choice to stay in contact, the choice to make sure that you are being uplifted and supported by community. Knowing that, again, just like the scripture says, that you will inherit everlasting life in the future despite this particular time period.
Oh, that makes me happy.
That is fantastic. Thank you, Kai. I'm going to give you some suggestions on what you can do root work wise. And Kai and Deacon, please feel free to jump in as well. You have three people who are quite good at love work, so you're in good hands here. First, I need to ask you, does he believe in root work or anything like that, or no?
He's Baptist, and he knows probably nothing about this at all.
He knows nothing about this, but is he open to, for example, carrying something if you were to give it to him? There's a reason I asked this. Or do you think he would be very uncomfortable with that? Okay, all right.
Probably so.
So now I have to tailor it. Generally, in a situation like this, when there's move, what we can do is create matching mojo bags where you keep one and he keeps another one. But if he's uncomfortable, we have to be sneaky, and there are ways of doing that. So I'm going to prescribe two different things here. The first is to kind of give him a nudge to marry you. Okay? It's a nudge to go, all right, or at least propose or get some type of commitment between the two. What I want you to do is I want you to take a photo where you two are both very happy, right? So it should be a very meaningful photo from a good memory that you guys have together. If you don't have a photo of you two together, you need to first create a memory. I highly recommend that. And if worst comes to worst, you can always take two separate photos and attach them to one another. On the back of this, you are going to write his name 3 times. Then you're going to turn this clockwise, and you're going to write your name 3 times. Then you're going to, in an unbroken circle, you're going, without lifting your pencil or pen, you're going to write, love me, commit to me, marry me, over and over again until the circle is complete and you are completely surrounded. This is a type of petition paper or name paper that was popularized by Ms. Cab and based on very traditional sources on doing love work. And it's great for commitment. What you're going to do is you're going to then take a little bit of your hair and a little bit of his hair. If you can get joint sexual fluid, even better. You can add those as well, but make sure that you have hair, okay? So you can either, you can just use the hair alone or hair with sexual fluids that you've gathered after intercourse with him. And you're going to place this in, you're going to fold the paper up and place it into a bottle. And into that bottle, you're going to place calamus, licorice, rose petals, okay? You're also going to put magnolia leaves in there, and you're going to put deer's tongue in there. Then what I want you to do is I want you to take the thorns off of a rose. So you're going to get a rose and cut thorns off of it. You can use a knife. You're going to cut down the stem until you get a bunch of these thorns, and you're going to stick the thorns into the bottle as well. Close up the bottle, and what you're going to do is every day you're going to shake that bottle up. A harsher version of this work is often used to drive people away, but I have altered this to make him come to you. The thorns are to give him that nudge. It's to prick his conscience just a little to make him slightly restless, not too much, not overly coercive, not scarily dominating, but just enough to make him start thinking about you and thinking about commitment. The other herbs and roots are there to draw out and influence him towards coming towards you and committing to you. Now, you can use this until every single day, shaking that up, calling out to a spirit, telling him to come to you and commit to you until you finally get the commitment that you want. The second working that I'm going to give you is to ensure that he remains faithful to you and that you two remain connected even over long distances. The military is a very male-dominated institution. It is a world unto itself, and it often comes with a culture that is not exactly conducive for fidelity and long-term relationships. That's simply part of military culture. Being around young men and men and single men, very hyper-masculinized system. So this is something to bear in mind. What I want you to do is I want you to get him a token of your appreciation. This can be something as expensive as a watch or jewelry, something that he can wear, a pin that is meaningful to you, or it can be something more heartfelt and homemade of you, and it doesn't matter. Normally, in cases like this, this is for married couples. It's the wedding rings that are used. But in this case, if you are comfortable giving him a ring, by all means, do so. I mean, people have promise rings these days, but that's entirely up to you. It could be a piece of jewelry, it could be a pen, or whatnot. The key is that you need to have a matching one for you as well. You are going to take both of these, and you are going to place this on a surface or an altar, and you're going to set it up with the photo of you and him in behind it. in a picture frame. In this picture frame, you're going to place an envelope. And in that envelope, I want you to write a prayer to God. This is just a simple letter. You're going to write, "Dear God, I ask that so-and-so be committed to me, that he remain faithful to me, that wherever he goes, he continues to be joined to me as my man, as I am his woman," so on and so forth. In the envelope, you're going to place that letter, and you're going to put in coriander seeds, you're going to put deer's tongue, you're going to put magnolia, you're going to put marjoram, you're going to put periwinkle, you're going to put raspberry leaves, you're going to put rose petals in there, okay?
Okay.
You're going to set that frame up so that it is behind the tokens that you've got, rings or whatever it is. You're going to set that in front. On either side, you're going to set up candles with "Stay with me and love me" oils, and you're going to anoint those. By light of those candles, you are going to get yourself some "Stay with me and love me" powders, and you are going to form a ring around, an unbroken ring around the objects. So it's whether they're rings or pins or tokens, whatever they are, you're going to form a ring around them, and you're going to pray from your heart that this man remains connected to you, that every time he looks at this object, he is reminded of you. Then you're going to take those oils and you're going to lightly oil that object, okay? Not too much. You don't want it to end up greasy. You're going to do this for a period of 7 days before you give that object to him. You're not going to break the ring. You're simply going to take one of those out, give it to him to carry wherever he goes. You keep everything set up the way you have it. You keep the ring. You keep the ring of powders. You keep your photo up. You keep the candles going. And every, once a week, you refresh. You put new candles and you pray with them. What that will do is it will create a spiritual link between the two of you, ensuring that you remain connected. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, let me see if Deacon Miller or Kai have anything to add to this.
Well, certainly one of the things that I like about it is the significance of a knight going off into battle carrying an object from the beloved. That was always considered both a token of love, but also a token of safety, because it is about safe return. And so you can also use "Return to Me" and "Safe Travel" oils.
Oh, yes, very
your workings. Particularly, I use a lot of "Return to Me" when people go overseas. If he's going into an actual danger zone, then "Return to Me" is used by lots of military spouses to bring their men back home. Let him know, quite "Bring you back to me," because you matter. You know, it's okay to be at least that explicit with a token of your esteem without him knowing any of the backstory. I really love this working. I think it's going to work very well for you.
Thank you. And I think suggestions
great.
Are
thank you.
You're welcome. And I think he's right with the protection element of "Return to Me." All the best, and we do wish you well. You can always call back in and let us know how things turned out. And we're going to have the lovely Miss Kathy Lee lead us on after this quick break to our next caller.
Y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is a wonderful, loyal listener who is calling from area code 651, and we have heard from this client before, and this client joins us just about each and every week that I know of, and this is Doc Murphy, and wishing happy birthday to you. Doc Murphy, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Doc. And just hoping that this this next birthday year that you're coming into is a wonderful, blessed one, okay? And,
Thank you.
You're very welcome, darling. And I'm going to go ahead and let our panel know, and as well as our listeners that are listening out there, that you are one of Professor Ames' clients, certainly, with AIR. And but that you're calling in today for our panel with Deacon Millett, Conjurman Ali, and Kyra Mond, because it's your birthday, and you write that I've come out of a year that was truly one of the worst in my life, involving crisis, bankruptcy, heartbreak, and the loss of friends who turned out not to be. And basically, you've got a simple request today. You want a reading to see how the next year of my life will look and some root work recommendations to clean off last year's bad fortune and attract some good fortune and blessings for the year. And turning it back over to y'all.
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee, and happy birthday, Doc Murphy. We've certainly read for you a few times before, and you are a loyal listener. So welcome. Hopefully your next year will be better. And I do wish you a happy and blessed birthday. Now, I've pulled a couple cards here that I am going to go over, and they, I think, speak very directly to your situation. The very first card that I have here is the Nine of Wands. The Nine of Wands shows as a person leaning on a staff, bandaged and exhausted, as there are other staffs behind them. Now, this is interpreted in a couple different ways. On one level, this person is looking over their shoulder because they're resting after being pursued, and those wands and staves represent that the pursuit is still there. Secondly, it represents a wall, a barrier that you have finally broken through. You're exhausted and you're tired, and you have had a very difficult year, and the Nine of Wands speaks to that. You've had to fight and scrape and push all the way forward, and now you're a little bit bruised, a little bit bandaged, a little bit worse for wear, but you're making it out of there. You're hoping that your next year is going to be better. You're taking a quick breath, looking over your shoulder, and making sure that what's in the past remains in the past. And that is a very important message for you to take away. So the next card is a natural progression from the Nine of Wands. It is the Ten of Wands. Here we see an individual carrying a bundle, a heavy burden that bends their back as they struggle in a difficult manner to try to get back to the peaceful home that is off into the distance. But the message of this card is that you can drop that bundle at any point and make that journey easier. So yes, you have had a very difficult year. It's not entirely over. There are some more residue of that year left. There is a few more obstacles before you. But you must also learn that starting today means that you want to start fresh, that you don't carry the burden with you forward. One of the drawbacks of having a difficult experience or a difficult period of time is that we can sometimes carry the emotional burden of that with us. And you want to avoid that. Don't let the worry about what happened keep you from experiencing the future. That in and of itself becomes a burden. So the Ten of Wands is about a burden and about carrying that with you. So you do want to leave that behind. And there's going to be some root work that will be suggested by my colleagues that can help you in this case, that can help to turn this around. But know that you are moving in the right direction, that things are going to be better if you can let go of what was holding you back. Now, you said that you had some difficulties in relationships, and heartbreak and loss. Are you currently in a relationship right now?
I was working what looked like slowly successful reconciliation work. Got some news today, and I had to pitch a honey jar. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you got some news that is requiring you to do further reconciliation work. Do I understand you correctly?
No, it's to end the reconciliation.
End the reconciliation. Gotcha. The reason I ask this is because I have the Lover's card in the future, which means that if you are currently in a relationship, which you're not because you did reconcile, right? It would mean a sign of commitment. In your case, because you're not in a relationship, it does indicate a new relationship on the horizon. And it shows us an archangel blessing two figures, Adam and Eve, if you will, that are joined together. This is followed up by the Nine of Cups. Both of these are success cards. These are both happy cards. In both cards, we see joy. In one, we see the joy of a union. And in the Nine of Cups, we see the joy of having success and fulfilling your goals and desires. So I do see very good things ahead of you. Despite the first two cards being kind of heavy, no pun intended, with the Nine of Wands and the Ten of Wands, the Lovers and the Nine of Cups tell us that things are going to get better, but they're going to come in the form of new endeavors and new experiences. A new lover coming into your life, as well as new opportunities for success. I don't see a giant change in regards to the financial circumstances happening relatively soon, though that may be a little bit later. I do see, however, a change in the emotional circumstances. So you will find a relationship and you will find something that brings you fulfillment in regards to success and happiness. So there are positive things ahead of you. You're not quite out of the woods yet, but I'm going to turn this over to my colleague. I thank you for trusting us with your reading. We're going to have Kai do the reading for this particular one and see if he sees something differently or he would recommend something, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Thank you very much.
So the first card I have here is the Five of Swords card, a card I do not like, and showing up in your past, I definitely understand why you might be bringing an end to some reconciliation work and where this experience of heartbreak was coming from. It seems as if there was someone that you trusted, or some people even that you might have trusted, who really showed their true faces to you, and you've sort of found yourself to be on the underdog end of some experiences for which I'm sorry that that happened. But definitely, again, happy birthday. So glad to see this card here in your presence, which is the Nine of Coins card. The Nine of Coins card is a card that speaks to sovereignty and to self-care. To self-care, really assessing where you are and what you need. There's an element of selfishness, a healthy selfishness in this card, which I think absolutely behooves you to be making the most out of, not only on your birthday, but any day. The Nine of Coins card is the card, again, of really taking good care of yourself. And it seems as if what you've been through really calls to that, to the need for that. Moving forward, in general, in the more immediate future, we have the Six of Swords card. The Six of Swords card is kind of a card of a slow departure from the pain of whatever you've been through, from a circumstance into another circumstance. So I would suggest, when I see this card, I usually think, okay, so you're absolutely out of the clear. I agree with Conjurman Ali on that, but that's definitely going to be some root work. I have some suggestions I've written down that I'll be providing to you in just a moment to quicken this departure from these painful shores, to get you to where you're wanting to go, as well as sort of sew up some of the loose ends that have been taken that have been carrying you through this experience. Like Conjurman Ali, there's an element of how I also see how there's an element of how your emotions play into your circumstance that's at play. And some of the root work advice I'm going to be giving you is meant to address that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kai. Let's have Deacon Millett throw in some of his suggestions and what he would recommend to do to turn the situation around, and then have Kai add his suggestions as well. So Deacon Millett, take it away.
Well, I think Kai is such a perfect person for you to be speaking with, because his new book, Deliverance, is really about these kinds of life turnarounds and really altering negatively charged situations. So I'm sure he's going to have some really wonderful things. And what I want to suggest is a spell that is in his book. And also is in my honey jar book. And this is a bathing ritual. I hesitate to call it a bath because people don't quite people, when you think of a bath in hoodoo, you think of a basin that you sit in, you know. And this is a little more of a physical bathing ritual. You use 2 tablespoons of baking soda, 2 tablespoons of sugar, 2 tablespoons of salt, and 2 tablespoons of mustard powder. That's it. So you mix those dry ingredients together, and then you add a small quantity of water, about 4 cups of warm, warm water to it. And it'll get kind of a bubbly, hot texture to it that's really quite amazing. And the idea is that you bathe all the way down your body with this, and you sponge it on, and it's almost like a mask to you, like putting a mud all over your body. And you bathe it down your body, and then you rinse it off. And this was a spell reported by one of Hyatt's informants, and she said this. She said, the sugar is to sweeten your body. The salt is to save you, because salt is for preserving things. The mustard will sweat any possession out of you. And the soda is to open your pores and let all that internal muck dry out. So it's a really powerful thing, and I can't recommend it highly enough. It's until you feel it, you just don't know. Give that a try, and I really pray that it helps you. I think that your coming year is going to be much better than the past one, that is for sure. Just astrologically, you've got Mars in your corner right now, so it's time to take some powerful steps.
Thank you very
much,
Deacon Millen. That was a fantastic suggestion. And for those who don't know both of Deacon Millet's book, and Kai's books are available at Lucky Mojo. I've read them. They're fantastic. I'm highly recommended. And I remember that particular bath because the derivation or that bath itself was actually made at the workshop before that. And
uh-huh.
It is quite fantastic, so I highly recommend that bath. Kai, you said you had written down some suggestions, and you are the right person to be asking about what to do to deliver her from this situation.
So what I'm seeing here, when I ask my cards, what is sort of the main thing that it really best serves for you to pay attention to, it's the Nine of Swords card. The Nine of Swords card is known by many cardomancers as the Nightmare card. However, it's also a popular idea regarding this card is that the internal turmoil might be a bit bigger. This isn't to thwart your experience, but it might be a bit bigger than the experience itself, or the internal turmoil is going to exacerbate whatever you're experiencing in the outside world. So a couple of these things are really about addressing yourself and any places in yourself where some of these external patterns that you're experiencing, where they might be sort of rooted. So one thing I would love for you to do is to get the herb Eyebright. I want you to make a light tea of Eyebright. And you're going to take this Eyebright, and for a period of 7 days or 9 days, you're just going to pray over it. Thank you so much, Eyebright, for the clarity that you bring. And you're going to take it, and you're going to wipe some of it over, just over your eyes, just over your eyelids, just praying any and all patterns, any and all things that it really serves me to get rid of. I simply wipe away the veil standing in the way of clarity and truth. And you're also going to do the same thing by wiping it over your heart. Wipe it, dipping your finger or a cloth into this tea. You should keep it in the refrigerator, making sure that it can last this period of 7 or 9 days, wiping it over your eyes and your heart, just wiping away any debris standing in the way of clarity and truth in your life. And the other thing I want you to do is I would like for you to take the plant rue. I want you to make rue a good, strong friend of yours. And I want you to take rue and smoke your home with rue. Rue is wonderful for jinx breaking. It also has very strong protective qualities, also very strong anti-evil eye properties. You're going to smoke your home with rue with the windows closed, and then you're going to open your windows, letting that rue smoke just take out anything that doesn't serve you. You're also going to take some rue, put it in a cloth bag, and hang that above the inside of your front door to ward off any evil eye, any harmful energies, just to bring that element of protection to your home. And the last thing I want to strongly suggest here, when we have been carried away by the tumultuous seas of life, there's an issue of remembering our sovereignty, remembering that we are here to make choices. We are here to have goals and to reach them. And I get the sense that with what you've been through, there's an element of sort of covering your head and or putting your head in the ground and just praying that there's nothing else that's coming, that the ceiling doesn't crash open again. And we've got to break out of that. We have to remember that you are a great manifester, that you are able to attract all that is good and true in this world, that is what you are here to do. So what I want you to do is I want you to collect images that speak to your heart's goals. Don't think about the past year and what you weren't able to achieve or whatever, you know, didn't happen that was in alignment with your hopes and dreams, but you're going to find those images that speak to what you do want to manifest. And you're going to make a vision board. You're going to take these images and collage them over a piece of cardboard, whether it's big or small, really just fill it. Fill it. This is sort of a beautiful meditative experience that's also creative. It's you're reaffirming your place as a manifester, which you are. And you're going to take, I would take some yellow or white candles, four of them, and I would anoint them with Van oil. Anoint each of them with Van oil and burn them around this vision board while you look at it and simply affirm that all of these things, all of the energy of these things is able to come true for you as you move forward into the next year. And then make sure you put that vision board up somewhere where you're going to see it every day. And remember that you're a great manifester and that you are deserving, truly deserving of your heart's desires.
Thank you so much.
Great suggestions. I think he's absolutely right. And you do, you know, you want to reaffirm your place and you want to remember to let go of the stuff that's holding you back because you don't want that to stop you from enjoying the year to come. One of the tricks is, like I tell people, is you once you're free from all of the oppression, you could stub your toe and immediately think that you're right back into that dark place. So don't fall into that. The only other thing I would add is a Queen Elizabeth root is really great to have in addition to all the wonderful suggestions that we've given here. As a powerful, powerful spiritual ally, you can carry it in a bag. You can just have a whole root. You can use it in baths, whichever you prefer to use. But a Queen Elizabeth root to really reaffirm yourself as the sovereign of your life, the queen of your own life, and the queen of your destiny. I do thank you for trusting us with your call, and I do hope that things get better for you. I do wish you all the best and happy birthday once again. So we are going to have a quick break where we will have announcements from the wonderful Nagashiba, and then we are going to move on to our free spell segment.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sunday, 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Monday, 5 to 7, the Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesday, 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesday, 6 to 7, Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Wednesday, 5 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday, 6 to 7:30, and On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Saturdays, noon to 3, all times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And y'all, now it's time for our free spell section, and Kai Armand is going to bring us out, and he's with ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York. Kai, here we go. It's turning it over to you, sir.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. This spell is an ongoing spell taking place over 7 weeks, and it's related to the topic of today, which regards activism. And I truly believe that if we're going to be
activists, so if we're going to really claim our place in the great fabric toward the greater good, there's an element of putting out our intentions where we see necessary, but there's also an element of making sure that we ourselves are open-hearted enough to understand what's going on in our world. Like Deacon Millett mentioned at the beginning of the show, Jupiter conjunct Venus, a particular astrological aspect happening right now, is a perfect time for us to really expand what our idea of love is. And when we look at the world and all the pain going on, it's obvious that there's a huge lack of love, or at least a lack of understanding of what love is. So what you would need for this work is a bottle of clarity oil and a bottle of peace water. And you can either use peace water, or you can use what is a very popular concoction known as the seven waters. And this would be seven waters that either you or seven other people have gathered from different bodies of water, seven different bodies of water, whether they be the ocean, a lake, a sea, etc. But either of these things would work. You can go all out with the seven waters, or you can use peace water. That's absolutely fine. And what you're going to do is you're going to take the clarity oil, and I'm very big on applying conjure concoctions to the place of one's heart. I do believe that the heart is really a necessary site in our bodies, in our energy systems, and we're talking about change in our lives and in the world. You're going to take this clarity oil and you're going to rub it on your heart. And the scripture that I am recommending that you cite while praying for clarity is the scripture, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, which reads, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And then you're going to take your water of seven waters, or your peace water, and you're going to go down to a crossroads in your community. And there you're going to spill out some of that peace water or water of seven waters at the crossroads while praying for unity in our world, starting with that crossroads, that unity spreads out from that space out into the world. That first scripture was Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And while you're spilling out this water of seven waters or peace water, I would suggest the reading of Psalm 133, which reads, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." And the next week, you would choose a different crossroads and spill out your water there, using seven crossroads in all over a period of 7 weeks, opening your heart to love and what really is needed in our world while sending out this energy of peace and unity into the world at seven crossroads in your environment. And that's all.
Wow, that is beautiful, beautiful. I love the symbolism of seven that is repeated over and over again.
Yeah.
There are going to be a few questions, so let me ask them. The water of seven waters, or is a particularly well-known spiritual rite, if you will, where seven waters are collected. Now, in a lot of traditional circles, it is said that it has to be seven different waters collected by seven different women, and then they're all combined into another. In this particular case, would you want it to be seven different women who collect the water, or person themselves go to seven different bodies of water and collect the water themselves?
I would say that for this working, a person of any gender can collect all seven waters. However, because this is also a working about unity, it would be so, I think, perfect for this working if this water was collected by seven different people of any gender.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, you can collect it from all over the country. And though while the traditional kind of idea of it is that it's seven women that collect these different waters. I could see it being adapted to any gender, and seven people from across the country bringing waters from across, from different bodies of water together. So therefore uniting, in a sense, the nation as a whole and the people as a whole together. So I think that's fantastic, fantastic suggestion. And the seven, the pouring out at the seven crossroads, is there any particular crossroads that they should be going towards? Should they be making a type of pattern with it? Should they be seeking out spiritual crossroads, or should they, should, you know, seven crossroads that lead back to home? What kind of pattern should they be looking at there?
Sure, I would say, you know, sensing into the seven crossroads that would be most effective for this work, there might be crossroads that feel like particular power spots. I know that there are definitely crossroads here in New York City that stand out more than other crossroads that I would probably work with.
Fantastic. That is a great suggestion. This is something that you have done yourself, I'm assuming?
Well, this is something that I'm engaged in right now.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow.
So it's fantastic. And the results of this work, ultimately, because you're using peace water and you're using water and using clarity, the aim of this is to bring about transformation and change, but in a peaceful manner, in a holistic manner, in a gradual manner. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. Coming back to this idea that Deacon Millett said, that this is, you know, so much of what is needed is really no different than the word we use for our intimate relationships, reconciliation. You know, we're calling in the energy of reconciliation and open-heartedness into our world.
That is beautiful. I love that. And then at a time like this, it's definitely needed. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Deacon Millett.
I just wanted to add, I really love the anointing of the heart and then the spilling of the water, because, I mean, I could just feel it as you were saying it, the spilling out from my heart as you were speaking. I just think it's a phenomenally powerful ritual, and thank you so much for sharing it. I also just wanted to mention, for those who don't know what the seven waters are, rainwater, well water, lake water, holy water, spring water, river water, ocean water, for that.
Thank you, Deacon Millett, for adding that. And you're absolutely right. And thank you, Kai, for such a beautiful, beautiful working. Very
amazing.
Kindly indeed. And we're going to have Miss Tammy Lee take us out. Thank you both gentlemen for joining us this afternoon. Tammy Lee, go ahead and lead us on out.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Conjurman Ali and Deacon Millett of fouraltars.org in the high desert of California for being our special guest hosts this week. And our Miss Cat will be back next week. And thank you, Kyra Mond of conjureandthecity.com in Brooklyn, New York, for being our special guest member premiere this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when we will have another very special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive by the luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing with Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks, Ms. Tammy Lee. And thank you for such a speedy exit there. I think it was done in record time and done flawlessly, if I may say so myself. Absolutely cool. Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. Thank you, Deacon Millett, for being such an amazing co-host and stepping in and filling in for Kat. We always love having you. Hopefully, we will have you back on soon with Kai. We can talk about activism again. Thank you, Kai, for joining us as our guest. As always, you were wonderful, and you bring such an important topic for us to discuss. This show would not be possible without either of you three. And thank you for everyone who tuned in. You were the reason this show is what it is. So have a great week, and good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.